God bless you this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Just as we change the order of the service this morning, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer while we're standing. Amen. Looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Believing that he has a word fitly spoken for our hearts this morning. Lord, we just come to you, Lord, this morning. Father, we're coming as your children, Lord, the purchase of your blood. And Lord, we know, Lord, that this work that you started in us, Lord, it's your work, Father. And Lord, we want to be faithful to do our part. So we've come this morning with expectation in our hearts, Lord. Not expecting anything from flesh or from earthly, earthbound thinking, but Lord, expecting from you, Lord, and expecting from your Spirit, Lord, to lead us and guide us and speak to us, Lord. For Lord, we know when you speak, Lord, it's a certain sound, Lord. It's something that we know that Almighty God has touched our hearts and reaffirms, Lord, that you're leading us and guiding us. And it reminds us, Lord, and comforts us, Lord, to know that you're with us. Lord, that you're true to your word, Lord. You're still moving and acting on your word. You're still fulfilling every promise in your word. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, we just appreciate that, Lord, and we appreciate your presence. We appreciate, Lord, all that you've done for us. And we ask, Lord, with humbleness in our hearts, Lord, that you would provide our daily bread, Lord, that you'd give us what we have need of, Lord, for we need you more than ever, Lord, and we know that, Lord. So we've come to receive from you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the songs that have been sung, Lord, the prayers that have been prayed, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you promised that you would be here, gathered together where two or three are gathered in your name. And Lord, we know that you're here, Lord. And we truly thank you for it. We're humbled by it, Lord. We pray that you'd bless your word as we look to it this morning. We read these words on a page, Lord. May you make it just alive to us, Lord. May you just take it and apply it in our hearts, Lord. May you bring things to our remembrance, Lord, as your word is proclaimed, Lord. May we see it in our lives and in our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God bless you. This morning, while you're standing, let's just get right into the scripture. Amen. As was mentioned, we just want to remember Brother Baker in prayer. Amen. God is healing him. Amen. Amen. It's rough for a preacher to have a hindrance in his mouth. Amen. I remember there was a brother one time, a pastor, and he was telling me how he had had an operation that, you know, and it was, I believe it was something with his neck, and he couldn't speak, and the doctor, you know, their prognosis was, you might not ever really speak again, you know, and he's like, hey, I'm a pastor, you know, this is not going to work. Amen. So we believe that Brother Doug is healed. Amen. Amen. And that he'll be back standing at his post of duty. Amen. Able to proclaim the word of God with boldness. Amen. Amen. Let's just turn into our scripture this morning, Isaiah 57 and verse 15. And then also we will like to read in Psalm 85, verse 6. And I'd like to take as a subject this morning, revive me. Amen. And I hope and pray that this morning, by the end of this, that would be our prayer, our heart's cry, Lord, revive me. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. What an introduction. Amen. Amen. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. You think you're something? Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. What a contrast. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Amen. And then Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Amen. You can have your seats this morning. Like to remind you also, this is the last Sunday of the month, so this evening, tonight's service will be dedicated to the youth, as has been our custom, amen? And I'd like to challenge you, the Lord put something on my heart for the youth tonight, and unless he changes that, which he could do, that's his prerogative, but unless he changes that, I challenge you to see the connection between the message this morning, the thought this morning, and where we go tonight. Amen? Because there is a connection. Amen. I'd like to read from the message, How Can I Overcome? And, you know, this is one of those messages, you know, you could just listen to this one over and over because we all want to overcome. Amen? And it gives us instruction. How can I overcome? And he says, now, let us turn into Revelation, the third chapter at the church ages, repeating a church age. But now, he says, I could take this one text and with the Holy Spirit preach on it 100 years and never get what's in it out. Because in this one text, like all other texts of the Bible, it's all tied together. And I want to take my subject this morning about how can I overcome. Now, I chose this because I think that it's a time that we should never let the spirit of revival die. We've got to keep in revival constantly. Revive every day. Paul said he had to die daily that Christ could live, and we must never let that revival die within us. So we want to look at these things this morning in what is promised to us, because the Bible is full of promises for us. It speaks about who we are, but it also it describes our inheritance and what belongs to us, what is our possession. And these are not things, you know, it's easy for us to look at a promise and see it applied to somebody else. But we must look at the Bible promises and apply them to ourselves. Amen? We must receive them for ourselves. So we want to look at being revived. Amen? What is it to be revived or renewed? And what does the Scripture say to us? How does it come? And what should we be in expectation for? Right? Brother Branham refers to this Scripture where Paul says, I die daily. He just quotes that. Right? You can find that. We're not going to read it, but you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul expresses that, I die daily. Amen. Amen? And so taking that, there's something about a day, right? There's something about that time period where it's a renewing and a refreshing that happens every day, right? And a day, God gave us this 24-hour period where the sun goes up, the sun goes down, it comes up again, and when it comes up, the Bible says His mercies are new every morning, right? And so there's a refreshing and a reviving that has to be renewed or reaffirmed every day. Amen? It's something it's like a vow that He renews to us. Remember, we're taught that the sun coming up is a symbol and it represents to us death, burial, and resurrection, right? The sun goes through an entire lifetime and then it sets, but then it raises up again. And it's a renewing every single day of a promise. Amen? Amen? Of a commitment that God made that yes, you may go in the grave, but you're coming up again. That there's a revival, that there's That it's not the end. The grave is not the end. That there's another day coming. There's a sunrise coming. Even though night falls, there's a sunrise coming. And so it's a renewing. But it happens every single day. Amen? And we need that every single day. And so when Paul says, I die daily, it's a daily renewing. So God making his promise to us, reminding us, and we have to make our recommitment to him every single day, a refreshing, a renewing, amen, a dying out to self and a replacing of our priorities, saying, God, you're number one, you know, you're in charge, amen, and we have to do that every day. So there's something about a daily struggle, a daily recommitment that God placed in the scriptures. Amen. And he says, I die daily. And Jesus told us, take up your cross and follow me. Right? So that cross, let's read that Luke. So before we get too far, Luke 9:23, let's read that here this morning. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Amen. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. So you see, even Jesus, Paul didn't just get this out of nowhere, right? This is Jesus taught this. Take up your cross every day. Amen. And what does that cross represent? It's a symbol of death to the flesh. Right? Jesus had to submit his will to the Father, and then he went and died on the cross. The cross represented the suffering and death of the flesh. Right? That man part died. The God part didn't die, but the man part died. Right? It's a symbol of a forceful death. Right? It's a symbol of a death that took struggle. It's a death where he laid his life down willingly, but there was pain involved. Right? It wasn't easy. It wasn't that he laid down peacefully and just went to sleep. Right? Your flesh dying out daily is a struggle. Sometimes it's painful. It's something that requires effort. Right? So we are called to take up his cross, or we are called to take up our cross and follow his example. And by doing that, we would then be revived. Amen? That we would be renewed. And revive means a return to life. Or a return to consciousness. Amen? Reawakening. When you get up in the morning, you wake up, you're reviving, you're reawakening. You were awake before, but you fell asleep and then you're awake again. Amen. When you are born again of the Spirit of God, you were born a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. But through the struggles of life, our eagle eyes get filmed over. Right? We go through things in life and the flesh reasserts itself, and so we have a renewing and a reviving that takes place. We're not being born all over again, right? But we are returning to life and consciousness. Amen? Re means to return to the previous state, to reawaken. Amen? It's our strength being renewed every day. Hallelujah. The baptism of the Holy Ghost lights the fire, but the fire must be kept burning. Amen. We need to be revived. And so that renewing of the Spirit, it happens over and over and over every day as long as we are in this flesh. Amen. You know, but that's the way it is. As long as you're in this sticky flesh, as Brother Branham put it, right? We battle against it and we have to be revived. Amen. So we're not talking about, though, is, people lose sight of the fact of who they are, right? Or they're, you know, they're in and out and in and out, right? There's people that are up and down and up and in and out and up and right, and they're tossed to and fro. Well, they just haven't come to a birth, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about that. If you're in that position, you just need to get born again. But what we are talking about is even when you're born again, amen, and you're going on to a maturity, there still needs to be a revival bubbling in your life. Amen. So in the message and in the scripture, we're given examples. One of the examples we're given in the scripture is of an eagle renewing itself. So Psalm 103, verse 5 says, "He who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle's." Amen. And we know Brother Branham talked about this in the message as the eagle stirs her nest. He said the next thing he likened an eagle. He said, "I got so many things, but we haven't got time to get them all. But the next thing is the eagle restores his youth." You know the psalm said that. The proverb said it. As an eagle restores his youth, he renews his youth. An old eagle, every once in a while, all of them feathers drop out and he renews his youth again. And he says that's likened to his church. And then he goes on in that same message a little further down. He says, as an eagle renews his youth. Yes, sir. The revival takes and shakes all the old funny feelings away from you. And you fly out into an atmosphere yonder. Likened his heritage to an eagle because the eagle renewed his youth. Now that makes him want to shout. You watch the church. It'll be sitting all dry. And the first thing you know, the Holy Spirit strikes them. Why? The old people is just up on their feet, jumping and shouting and praising God. Amen. That's what I want to see in our old people. Amen. 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 Renews their youth again. That's right. Do anything a young person can do. Just jump and holler and scream and shout. He renews his youth. That's right. I believe in that, don't you? Amen. Amen. So we know that the eagle's feathers are completely replaced. Amen. He renews himself because he gets to a point where it's just part of use, right? They just, things get old, right? And they have to be renewed and refreshed. And an eagle, they live 20, 30 years. And so they have to go through this process of renewal. Well, as we walk in this earth, we have to be cleaned up. We have to be renewed. Amen. It's not necessarily that we're doing anything wrong. It's just the fact that we're human living in Satan's Eden. Amen. So, but notice when we speak about the eagle and let me see. I've got one more here. Let me read just one more. This is from the message, letting off the pressure. Let's read this. He says, "And a certain kind of eagle, when he begins to get old, he gets weary, like all of us old people, and he gets crust over his head. And he gets so weary he don't know what to do. And the Bible said that the eagle renews his youth, so I studied about this fellow. And when he gets old and weary, that crust is over his head. He flies as high as he can go till he finds a great high rock. And he sits down by the side of the rock and sits there and beats his head on the rock." What's he trying to do? Beat the crust off. And the blood will fly off his head and he goes through all kinds of torture. But as long as he can feel some of the crust on him, he's got to get that off. So he beats on the rock and he just keeps beating until the crust is off his head. And as soon as all the crust is off his head, though he's bleeding and wounded, he just screams at the top of his voice. He lets off the pressure. Why? Because as soon as all that crust is off, he renews his youth. Amen. It's sure to come. Just as soon as the crust is gone, he can start screaming because he knows he's got rid of all that crust. So his youth is sure to be renewed. So he can just let off the pressure and start screaming. Because he's going back to a young eagle again. That's wonderful. I'm glad for that eagle. I'm glad for that bird. But you know, I know a rock where we can go. and beat in prayer till all the crust of the world is beat away from us. Till all the unbelief in God's word is beat away. Till we enter into a place where all things are possible. And as soon as we got all the world and unbelief in God's word beat off of us, then we can scream and shout because eternal life is sure. Just as certain as anything. Certainly, because all the world is beat off. And if you keep the world on you, keep loving the world and the things of the world, you'll surely die. But if you can get that away from all, if you can get away from all that, then your youth will be restored and you'll have eternal life. Amen. So we just love and appreciate these little symbols, these little stories, amen, that paint such a vivid picture that it requires sacrifice, right? It requires suffering. He talks about how he would be in pain and be bleeding, amen, and, you know, blood is spurting out and it's rough and it doesn't look pretty sometimes. And you're wondering, is it going to work? Is he going to die in that condition? It was painful, right? But everything else had to wait. He was focused on that task. He realized it was life or death. And he put that, his highest priority, that eagle, I'm going to do this. I'm not going out flying with the buddies, right? I'm not going hunting. I'm not tending a nest. I'm not doing anything, whatever else an eagle does. I don't know, Right? I'm not doing anything else until this is taken care of. Amen? Amen. Amen. Commitment. Yeah. Amen. Total commitment. Right. But it was worth it. Amen. 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 To feel the scales of this old world to fall away. Yes. Amen. To have spiritual life renewed. Amen. Amen. Now, brother, sister, remember, we're doing this daily. Yeah. Right? That's what we're called to. We're called to surrender and sacrifice of self daily. Brokenness daily that allows for restoration to come. Because, you know, as we've said before, if we do this daily, then it doesn't have a chance to build up. Right? And sometimes it's hard because we've let something linger. You know, sometimes when you're healing from an injury, like, you know, if you have a bone or something was broken or dislocated and it wasn't properly cared for and that bone grows back or it mends itself, but it wasn't properly set, and it can cause you problems, right? And if you go to the doctor, maybe they would say, well, you know, the only option is to break it again, right? Well, you got to re-break it. And set it properly. It has to be done right. If you want to be properly healed. And sometimes that's the way things are in our lives. Amen. We have to go in and we have to deal with things that are in the past, maybe that are uncomfortable. But we have to take care of it. It has to be done right. It has to be dealt with. It has to be put before Father, and it has to be placed under the word. Amen. And it could be uncomfortable maybe sometimes, but it's in our best interest. Amen. It's like a wound that, you know, if you've cut yourself or something and it has got infected. Well, sometimes the only way to have healing is to cut more. Right? Seems like you're going backwards. It's harder, but you're removing the hindrances to healing. Amen. It can't heal properly unless you dig those things out and cut things away and remove those obstacles. Amen. It causes pain for now, but in the long run, it'll allow it to be healed. And that's the way it is with our brokenness before God. Amen. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come and he'll cut things. Amen. He'll expose things. He'll come with a preacher that it'll smack you over the head, right? And it's uncomfortable. And you'll say, oh God, why'd you have my pastor say those things? Or that preacher, whoever, right? But he's dealing with something. Amen. The things that the Holy Spirit is dealing with in our lives, and we have the power to stop it. Amen? We can say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to deal with that. Or you can recognize that it's God moving in your life. Amen? And that you'll be better off in the long run. Your surrender is required. Amen. You imagine, somebody on the operating table, and man, they're fighting the doctor the whole way. Doctor, what are you doing? He's moving the hand. No, this way, a little higher. Can you imagine that? That's why they put you out, right? It's not for your comfort. It's so you don't get in the way. No, it is for your comfort too, but yeah, can you imagine that? Doctor, I don't think you should do it exactly that way. Right? Do we do that to the Holy Spirit? Amen. We got to trust Him. Amen? Amen. It's a surrender. I surrender. Doctor, you know best. I'm trusting you. Amen. Dr. Jesus, you know best. Hallelujah. Now, a little bit ago I spoke about expectation, and we must understand what the expectation is for our age. Amen. We are not promised a revival in terms of global, big, revivals, big tent meetings. We're not promised those. We're not promised the big healing campaigns. But we are promised that we would be in revival. Amen. So let's just look at this, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. Amen. Paragraph 68, he says, nor does the revival or does these things happen at the time when we think they ought to happen. We think it's this time right now. Glory be to God. I notice in our chapter, so he's speaking about the men of that day that had this idea, a different idea than what God's idea was, right? They believed that the church was going to just continue on building in these great revivals. And they have these ideas that the church was going to, almost like usher in a millennium, right? And he says, I notice in these chapters and so forth of the businessmen, they say, they're coming right away. Hallelujah, great revival. Don't be deceived. He has already come. And they did to him what it was list. See, but they think there's a revival. Is it happening? No, it's done. Dead. It's over. This is lamp trimming time. Coming out and going in. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So you see, it's not a big outward revival. It's individuals that are trimming their lamps. Individuals that are being renewed in their strength. Right? And then from that same message further on, paragraph 112, he says, there won't be any denomination. You just remember. Brother Jack here is a historian. Many of you here are. There's never been a revival, but about 3 years after the revival, they started a denomination on it. Is that right? And this last great miracle move of God in this last days, it's went 20 years. And it's a million miles from a denomination, going further away all the time. The shuck is pulling away. No cooperation, no nothing with it. See, it always pulls away from it. There can't be no more. It's a wheat now. He's speaking about dispensationally how the church is moving through, right? The life is moving through the wheat plant in symbol form. He says, but we're plenty green now. That's right. Have to lay in the presence of the sun to be mellowed up. That's all of it. Plenty green. We haven't got the sincerity, the sacredness, the thing we ought to have in our midst to know that the Spirit of living God moving in His Word and showing us the things yet. So what's he speaking about? He's speaking about it's going from this big outward show, right? This big outward move to now these individual wheat, amen, individual seeds that are, they're green. They need to be in the presence of God. Right? They need, and he speaks about it, sincerity and sacredness. It's a digging of deep, a spiritual experience. Amen? To know that the Spirit of the living God is moving in His Word. It's a reviving in the individual that's living a life, amen, that has the Son, the Spirit of God atmosphere in their life, amen, and it's making them sincere, and it's bringing a sacredness in their life, and it's moving in the Word of God, and it's doing the Word of God, and it's manifesting the Word of God, and showing the things that are spoken in the Word. Amen. So that's what's promised to us, right? Amen. That's our part. That's what we should be doing. Amen. That's the life that we are to be living. Now, we know that we live in a world, amen, that is all catered to our senses, right? It's all designed for our earthly senses, our see, smell, taste, feel, hear, amen, our eyes. It flashes things before our eyes and stuff to listen to and to touch and to experience, right? And it's geared toward that. But that is not the real life that we are experiencing. We are experiencing the real life in our soul. Amen. Amen? And that experience should be so real and so present that it overwhelms this other.
Right.
Amen. Amen? That in the face of what I'll just call sensory overload, right? We experience a daily renewing in the spirit, the life in the soul realm, so that it's more real than all of that.
Right. Yeah.
Amen? That is our awakening. Knowing who we really are.
Yeah.
Knowing that we are a spirit being. Amen? Knowing that the interactions that we have are spiritual.
Yeah.
Amen? You know what's real. You've woken up. There's such a there's such a statement in the land today, you know, where you've probably heard it, right? And people speak about people being woke, right? And that started with this idea of they've woken up, right? They've awakened. There's been some sort of awakening, and they use it to describe, you know, various social constructs or social issues, right, in the day, or different things. They may be good, bad, whatever, but they use that term, right? Well, this is truly the real woke, the real awakening, right? To know what's actually real.
Amen.
To know every day you're reawakening and reaffirming God's word is true. Right? Reawakening to the spirit realm. To the spiritual battle that's happening all around you. Right? Because the enemy, one of the ways he attacks you is by obscuring the spiritual. Right? He hides. That's one of his greatest strengths. Is his ability to hide and deceive. Right? He comes in and a demon power will hide itself. And it will use other people. It will use human flesh. It will speak through flesh. Right? And it's not your brother or your sister or the person. But there's an anointing there that's hiding. That's one of the things that made Brother Branham's ministry so powerful and effective was he exposed the enemy. Right? He was able to speak and say, hey, you know, there's a demon here and call it by name.
Right?
He would expose those devils. He would reveal the secrets. Amen? He would reveal what's going on. God used him. Amen? God placed that gift in him to be able to unveil the working of the enemy. Isn't that what, you know, many of the things that Brother Baker has been bringing in regards to that quote where Brother Branham, you know, or in the church age there, where he speaks about being able to discern the spirits that are at work in the church. Well, why is that so difficult? Because the enemy is trying to hide. The enemy is trying to obscure his working, right? And so what that means, brother, sister, is that's why it's so important to us to have a renewing in our spirit to bring those things back into focus. Because the longer we go in this world, the more it becomes natural to us. Right? If you just, let's just use this as an example. You go a long time without reading your Bible. The longer you go, the less aware you will be of the spirit realm. Right? So we need that to renew our vision. Amen. To be able to understand that we're not fighting natural battles. And to be able to do it quickly. Right? That we're not looking to our own human ability to make decisions. Right? Instead, right away, our vision is clear and we're thinking in spiritual terms. And when a decision comes to be made, we make it through the Spirit of God. We make it surrender to God's word. Amen. And we allow him to lead us in those things. And we're not relying on ourselves. Amen. Or to solve our problems. Doesn't that take the pressure off? Amen. Amen. That is letting off the pressure. Right? But the problem is that the longer we go without a renewing or reviving, the more we tend to lean on the arm of flesh. The more we tend to put pressure on ourselves to go do it ourselves. Right? I've got to make this decision. I've got to make this happen. It's on me. Right? And you're a responsible person, so you're feeling that pressure. Instead of dwelling in the spirit realm. Amen? And instead of, I met with him this morning. Amen? And he reminded me that today he's going to lead me. And he reminded me, and it's anchored in my soul today. Amen. That everything that I encounter today, he's leading me and guiding me through it. And so I don't see the way, but I don't have to see the way because I'm not the one that's responsible. Amen. But the longer we go without a renewing, the more we take control of it. Amen. That's why that daily reviving is necessary to bring the spiritual element back into plain view. Amen. The Bible teaches us that the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, right? It's spiritual. It's mighty to the tearing down of strongholds, but it's spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not flesh. That friction that you're having with a coworker or a family member is spiritual. It's not them. Amen. Amen. That boss that's coming down on you so hard, or that coworker that you just can't seem to do anything right around, there's a spirit power laying there, right? And maybe God is using that. He is using it. If it came into your life, he's using it. But see it spiritually, right? And then you pray for that person instead of fighting back, right? Because when you begin to fight back with your flesh, you're doing exactly the wrong thing. You're making it worse. Amen. So you begin to pray and battle against demon spirits and powers instead of against people. People are not our enemy. Amen. People are not our enemies. We have an enemy. Amen. And yes, sometimes he uses people, but people are not our enemies. Amen? Revival fixes people problems. Amen? If you've been spending time with God, if you're revived, people problems somehow just work themselves out. Amen? Why? Because you start to love everybody. You start to see people as God sees them. You're now working with the Spirit of God and not against it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. From the presence of God, unrecognized. Brother Branham says this, we just want to add more to the church and give you more faith in the God that you serve in your church. See? We don't want the doors of the church closed, by no means. We want you to stay there, but we're just trying to help you and to encourage you. A revival don't even mean to add more to the church. A revival means to revive that what you've already got. Now, you know, that's true, right? And but people have confused this because many times when people or a church are in revival, it will spill over and then draw more people, right? There is something to that, right, where that happens. But that's the revival is those that have already been alive. And you're reviving, right? He says, that's right, a revival. I watched one time at a seashore where the wind was blowing and it was just shaking. And well, it wasn't. The seashore was up at Lake Michigan. And I was standing there watching the waves as we come in. We read this before, amen, but it would bear reminding us. He said, I was standing there watching the waves as they come in, and all the sea was jumping, or the water was jumping, and the boats was a-rocking, and I thought, what is that going on? And I thought, why, the lake's having a revival. That's it. It's jumping and shaking. Why, there's a rushing mighty wind come down on it. I thought, well, you know what? There isn't one more drop of water in it right now than there was when it was perfectly still. There's no more water in it. It's just all stirred up. Right? Revival doesn't mean you're any more a child of God. Right? You're just a stirred up child of God. It's all stirred up. Well, I thought, what's it stirred up about? You know what a stirring up of water does? It washes the trash out of it. Up on the bank. And that's what we need, a washing of unbelief out on the bank. Let the word of God have preeminence. That's what we need, a revival. Wash all the unbelief out and all the bugs and superstitions and things come out of it and see that God is still God. That's what we have revivals for. Now, he's speaking about what it means to be in revival, right? And what revival is. But I want to bring this down to where we are now, right? Because reviving may or may not happen as a group. Right? It may or may not be a big event. You know, in those days, of course, they were having what they called revival events. And that they were events for the purpose of revival, right, is what they were trying to do. That's what they were trying to accomplish. But, brother, sister, your revival doesn't depend on somebody else. Right? Your ability to meet with God in a daily personal revival doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on your pastor. It doesn't depend on anybody else. It doesn't depend on the church. It doesn't depend on having a big event. It doesn't depend on having special meetings. Right? It doesn't depend on a group corporate. All it depends on is your surrender. A big event is good. Special meetings are good. Right? And if those meetings are successful, it's because people that are having their own personal revival create an atmosphere. They create a bonfire. Amen? They make a personal sacrifice. Amen? They create something that other people can come in and benefit from. Amen. Others can come in and get warm spiritually, and they can enter into that spiritual realm. Let's just continue on here. This is from the message calling Jesus on the scene. He said, I remember one night in Vandalia, Illinois, I walked into a meeting and no more had been in the meeting over 5 minutes and there wasn't a feeble person around the place anywhere. Wheelchairs pushed out and piled up. Blind was seeing. Deaf and dumb speaking. The Spirit of the Lord was present and he just healed the whole group of them. Now, that's when you can do something when the revival is going on. But let that revival fire die down and then you can... People are still Christians, but they're not revived into that spirit. That great atmosphere that does something. It's like a forge in a blacksmith shop. You've got to get the iron hot before you go pounding on it with the anvil. If you don't, you'll never straighten it out. That's what it takes to have a revival, is everybody under the heat of the Holy Ghost that's brought down the powers of God in a revival moving. Then there's prayer meetings going on day and night, every minute, everywhere. And the people wouldn't even leave the ground. So what he's speaking about is a great corporate revival where people came in and got healed. Right? And it was started by people that were in revival. Amen? People can enjoy the atmosphere that others have created. But people that are in personal revival are doing the work. Amen? There are people that are praying and interceding and worshiping even when they don't feel like it. And they push through the fleshly hindrances. Amen? To live in that spirit realm. Amen. And that creates an atmosphere. And others can come and enjoy the atmosphere. And we're taught we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to create an atmosphere, especially for people that haven't been born again. And those of us that have, we create an atmosphere. And that allows people to come into the atmosphere and to be healed and to meet God and to, you know, receive whatever they have need of, right? But there's a work that takes place. Amen? There's a commitment that has to happen for that to take place. And you and I, amen, we have a part to play. And we, even without all of that, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a meeting like that before. Right? Amen. Anybody else seen a meeting like that? I've never seen a meeting like that. But that doesn't mean that I can't be in revival with my Lord. Amen? Amen. And he will work in our lives as far as we will let him. We're taught that we, you know, our life, it's like a, Brother Adam likened it to a three-room house, right? Where there's like, you have a kitchen and you have a living room and then there's a bedroom and you invite people in and there's a level of comfort and an intimacy, you know, with different people and as right, as far in as you go, that's where that level of comfort reflects that, right? Like the salesman that Brother Doug was talking about the other day, you don't let him in very far, right? The vacuum salesman, right? Better off just to keep him at the porch, right? But God should have access to our entire life.
Right.
Amen? And there's a type in the scripture of the temple of God where there's the outer court and the inner court, and then there's the holiest of holies where the presence of God dwells. Right? And the high priests, they would be dressed and they would be, they would go through all of the preparation to go in and meet God in that holy place. And they had to be prepared correctly. They had to match up with the Word of God. They had to submit to the Word of God and be dressed appropriate, a type of being dressed in the Word, being cleansed by the blood, right? They had to be holy. They had to be properly surrendered to the Word of God, right? And if they didn't do all that correctly, when they went in there, they would die. But when they did it correctly, and they would go into that holiest of holies, in that place they would meet God. And that's where the presence of God would come down, and they could sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, and where there was life in there, there was manna in there, right? There was manna in there that was just as fresh and sweet as the day that it was picked up off the ground, right? A typing of a renewing, an experience that never gets old.
Amen.
Amen. It never gets stale. It's just as sweet, you know, as the day that you started, right? All those years ago, your experience is renewed in that place. When you're in the outer court, you know, your experience, oh, it might feel old, or it's a memory, or it's stale. I remember when God did this, but going back into that place, it's there. It's just as fresh as that first day. There's a branch in there, right? That was dead, but now it's living again. It's been brought to life. It's starting to bring forth leaves and you know, a type of life and vitality. And all of this is renewed in that holy place. Amen? And when that veil would drop behind the high priest and he would enter into that place. Now, we can only imagine what that was like. But brother, sister, it must have been like a whole different world. Right? Because that veil would drop and everything outside, it was all shut out. Right? It was all left behind. And the only thing that mattered was the presence of God. And that's what he's inviting the believer to. Amen? We now have access to the Holy of Holies. We have access to commune with the living God. Amen? To be in his presence and have the world shut behind us and have a renewing and a refreshing of our experience with him. Living in that place. Amen? Even though we're out doing our daily lives and walking around in the world, yet in our soul we're living in his presence. Amen? Look at what he said here in the hidden life in Christ. He said, I think that's what's the matter with our church today. We got too many of those layovers. That's right. Some people eat just enough manna to make them right, good, and hungry for some time, but before one revival to another, you have to go out and get renewed again. He says, brother, why don't you stop that nonsense and just come into the holiest of holies? And he's speaking out people that just go from one special meeting to another. Right? They just get enough to kind of renew their human spirit, to get their, you know, emotions and just enough to enjoy the presence of God, but not enough manna to actually carry them through. Right? He says, why don't you stop that nonsense and come into the holiest of holies by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Every bit of manna outside of here just lets you last for tonight or tomorrow. Next week, it won't work. It dries up overnight. But if you'll ever consecrate yourself to come into where the manna stays fresh, day in, day out, year in, year out, in the holiest of holies. You can meet that man that's ever walked in there. I don't care if he hasn't been in a revival for 6 months. Okay, we were just talking about these big revivals, right? But you see, he's talking about something that carries you. He says he hasn't. If you meet a man that's ever walked in there, he says, I don't care if he hasn't been in revival for 6 months. He's just as sweet as he was the day he was in revival. Or the revival. He's speaking about a meeting, right? A revival meeting. He says, that's right. You can meet him on a shouty day or a cloudy day or whatever you want to, and he's just the same. Because he's living in the glory of God. He's living where the manna is fresh all the time. Is that where you want to live? Amen. He says, where it isn't a burden to get out and pray through today and pray through tomorrow. Brother, stay with him all the time in the holiest of holies. And you say, can a person live that way? Absolutely. That's what Jesus died for. That's what we're called to. That's what Jesus died for, so that you can live that way. So that you, whether it's a shouty day or a cloudy day, it doesn't matter. What's going on around you doesn't matter. You're in the holiest of holies. Amen. You're in that secret place with him. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love that? Don't you want that? Amen. In Broken Cisterns, he says, that's the way it is with a born-again experience. It's a well of water within you bubbling up into everlasting life. See, there's something about it that you have nothing to do with. The man-made tanks may freeze and then begging for revival and everything, but a man that's under that fountain, living in that fountain, it's day and night. No, you don't have to wait on local rains and local revivals. You're full of it. I'll give unto him a fountain of life in him, bubbling up, something in it that's fresh every day. Fresh every day. Every day. Pure and clean. It's unadulterated word of God in your heart and mouth, vindicating itself, speaking for itself. I don't care whether it's raining, whether it's snowing, what kind of weather it is, you're still happy. Because the Holy Spirit is in there bubbling up. It's a hidden power. Notice, for its secrets within it. Amen. So, just with what little time we have left here this morning, I'd like to look at a little type. And we often, in the Bible, we get this from the scripture, where it speaks about our spiritual condition in terms of a temperature. Right? We all know the scripture, hopefully there in Revelation chapter 3, where it says that if you, I would that you were hot or cold, right? But because you're not hot or cold, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of your mouth, right? And what is it speaking about? It's speaking of, as we understand it, a spiritual condition, right? And it's using temperature. And we know that hot, good, cold, bad, right? Right? So the scripture often talks about heat, hot, as you're on fire for God, right? You're full of life. Why? Because heat is energy. Quick chemistry / physics lesson here, right? Heat is just energy in molecules vibrating and moving around, right? In something that a solid, right? Those little particles are always moving. But the warmer it is, the more energy it has, the more they move, right? And as it gets colder, they move less and less and slower, right? Same thing with air, right? So heat means it symbolizes life and energy. When somebody dies, what happens? They get cold, right? You go over and feel them, their body's cold, not a good sign, right? So heat represents life, energy, vitality. Amen. And of course, now we know that scripture tells us that lukewarm is the dangerous condition, because you're not hot, so you're not full of life, but you're also not cold, so you're not in a condition where you are alarmed about it. Right? You're unalarmed, you're unaware, you're unaffected. You're thinking, well, I'm not cold, right? But you're not hot either. So that lukewarm condition, either you were hot and you cooled off, or you were cold and you just haven't warmed up enough, right? You're in between. And we know, brother, sister, that if we look at this from a natural standpoint, the world around you will naturally cool you off. Amen? And this is spiritually true, and it's physically true. Unless you go out on a day that's 106 in Tucson, then the world is going to naturally heat you up. But that's because of the sun, right? If the sun wasn't there, you would cool off very quickly. Amen? So what I wanted to look at this morning here with just the little time we have remaining, I like to hike and do outdoor things. And so from time to time, I'll read those things or listen to people that are, you know, engaging in those pursuits. And, you know, it's interesting to me and I enjoy it. And there's many of them that do kind of the hiking and the outdooring thing. I know it's hard for us to imagine, but they live in places where it's cold. And they have this stuff that's like snow and ice and things freeze. It's crazy. Amazing, right? And they actually go camping in that and hiking and do things outdoor in cold. I know. And us, you know, we're like, how do we not die from the heat? But they have to think about that. Because, you know, here it's like, when we go hiking or go outdoors, it's like, how much water are we taking? Right? And how much shade are we taking with us or whatever? What time of day is it? Right? But in those places where it's cold, they think about the cold and how you combat that. So there's four different ways, main ways, that the human body loses heat. Okay? And we're going to go through those and look at them spiritually for the remainder this morning. Is that all right? Now, the first way that we lose heat out of our bodies is through what's called conduction, okay? Conduction, where heat is conducted out of our bodies through direct contact, okay? So that is physical contact with an object, usually something like metal that's really cold, right? In fact, you can get your skin stuck to it, right, if it's cold enough. But if you're touching something that's colder than you, heat will be drawn from you into it, right? It will quickly draw heat out of you. So if you're thinking, think about, you know, if you're, it's cold out and you sit down on a cold rock, right? Sit down on a cold metal bench or something like that. That cold, you're going to feel it pretty quick. Because it's going to pull the heat out of your body. Amen. Or if you're holding a metal tool or something that was cold, it will quickly draw the heat from you. And the spiritual application of this is the more that we contact the world, right, it can draw heat away from you. So some contact is unavoidable, but there is a lot of contact that is avoidable. Right? Some things are totally avoidable. And if you go on the devil's territory, right, and you're sitting down where you shouldn't sit down, right? You're looking at things you shouldn't look at or listening to things you shouldn't listen to, right? It's going to naturally draw your spiritual heat from you. Amen. It's going to sap you the life. Amen. It's going to pull that's from you. Amen? Yeah. Now, I'm saying all these because our topic, our subject here is to be revived daily, right? But what we're looking at is things that make it harder. Yeah. You don't have to make it harder on yourself. It's hard enough. Right. But there are things that we can do to keep it from being as difficult, right? So, some of that contact is totally avoidable. But the Bible says that we should flee the very appearance of evil. Man, we can keep things out of our vision, out of our view, out of our spirits. Amen? And not have the spiritual life drawn from us. So conduction, touching the world. Right? Number two, evaporation. Now, we would be familiar with this with our swamp coolers, right? Because in the dry atmosphere, anything that's wet evaporates very quickly, and it in that evaporating water, it draws energy, right, to do that. And so whenever water evaporates, it has an immediate cooling effect. Like for us, that's really good, right? You get yourself wet, and in the heat, it evaporates, and it can be very cooling. It can draw temperature down very fast. But if you're in a cold climate, which this world is cold, right? Spiritually, right? We're in a cold climate. And if you are in an atmosphere that's dry, amen, the water can be sucked out of you. And that cools your life down. That cools you down spiritually. Amen? So the remedy to that is to be where the water is pouring out. Amen? To be in an atmosphere where the water of life is flowing freely. Amen? To be plugged into the rivers of living water. Like the Bible says that the tree shall be planted by the rivers of water. Amen? That we would be drawing water. Amen, that we would not be in an atmosphere of a dry experience. Because the more you're in that atmosphere, the more moisture is drawn from you, the colder your life becomes. And we don't want to be spiritually dried out. Amen? So conduction, touching, evaporation, the water drawn from us. And number three, convection. Okay, so convection is when heat is lost to the human body by moving air. Okay? So a lot of places they'll call it wind chill, or the wind is blowing. And we know that because we fan ourselves, right? We turn on a fan, or we, you know, the sisters, when they get hot, they're over here. Right? That's how you cool yourself. A way that you can cool yourself, right, is by air moving. And what happens is that air, it, as it moves over your body, it strips away. There's a warm boundary layer over your skin that you're not even aware it's there. It's very, very small layer of warm air. And the moving air strips that away. It pulls that away and it forces your skin to reheat more. And then it pulls that away and it reheats more. And it's drawing energy and heat out of your body. But what is that a type of? It's a type of atmosphere. Amen? When you're in the wrong atmosphere, it draws spiritual life from you. It's a chilling of your spiritual experience. Amen? You hang around the wrong people. You're listening to the wrong things. You have the wrong music playing. It all creates an atmosphere, and it all exposes you to worldliness. And the more you're exposed to the thoughts of the world and the evil thinking of the world and thoughts that are not God's thoughts, it's like a cool wind that's stripping away the heat from your life. It's stripping away at your spiritual, it doesn't make you not a Christian. It's just pulling that heat from you. Amen? It makes it harder for you to stay in personal revival. It's pulling you from hot to lukewarm. Amen? Convection. Wind chill. And the fourth one is radiation. Your body naturally radiates heat into the surrounding atmosphere through exposed skin. The way that people get around that is they wear clothes. Right? Because your skin is not exposed to that. And that helps with other things as well. But radiation, it's not the wind pulling it away, but it's just a radiating that happens no matter what. And it's due to lack of protection or covering. Okay? And, well, how do we combat that? We stay under the protection and the covering of the Word of God. Amen? The Bible says that we are being dressed. Amen? We are to take on the full armor of God, right? We're to be dressed in the Word of God. We're to have the shield of faith, and we're to have all this protection, that the Word of God is our protection against the fiery darts of the enemy. As the bride of Christ, we are being dressed in a wedding gown of the Word of God. We are coming under the headship of the Word. We are submitting to God's Word and saying, Lord, no matter what I think, no matter how hard it hurts, I believe your Word and your Word is true. And I surrender to it and I submit to it. And I say, Lord, you are right. Well, that's a protection for you. That's a covering for you. Amen? That keeps heat in your body. That keeps life in your spirit. Amen? That helps hold on to that heat. Amen? It keeps you in a revival and a renewing when you're under the protection and the covering of God. Amen? What happens when we needlessly expose ourselves to the enemy? He's going to take advantage of that. Right? He's going to do everything he can. But that's why we renew every single day. Amen? So these are all examples of how the physical world pulls heat from our body. But they are symbols of how spiritually we just cool down. Naturally. Amen? Our spirit life. But we can take steps to be revived. Amen? Amen? There's a fire. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a Holy Ghost fire that can keep you hot. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Can keep you on fire. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just read a couple more statements from the Message here. And then I have one scripture, and then we'll finish up. The invisible union of the bride of Christ. He says, now, let me say this again to the local assembly. Don't feel bad now. I am speaking to all out across the country, to what I think is the elect lady. So if there happen to be ministers in here that don't agree, well, just hold your peace for a little while. Notice and just listen. Notice this character. When you see women just go on the rampage or just do anything they want to do, watch. The church is doing the same thing. But watch when the spiritual bride, when she begins to have a revival, when she begins to come back and line herself up with the Word of God. Watch then again, you see how that scriptures at that time, there will be a message sweep out to catch that bride, to catch that woman elect. For as the world, Satan the deceiver, who deceived the first bride to sing against God by misbelieving his word. Amen. She's lining up with the word. And she is promised to have revival. Turn on the light. He said, so ought the church of Pentecost today ask, who is Jesus Christ? The same yesterday, today, and forever. His light of his gospel ought to be shining forth with the word of this age, revealing Jesus Christ to the nation just like it was then. He was so filled with the Welsh revival till he was the Welsh revival. We ought to be so filled with Christ till we reflect him in the power of his word that's allotted to us to this day. Brethren, don't be stooped in the things of the world. These cares will take you away. Stay with the gospel. Watch every word. Don't go back to what some father said. Let's go right now what Jesus said was to take place in this day. Yes, sir. We are supposed to be the light of this age, manifesting the gospel. Luther was his light. Wesley was his light. Pentecost was his light. But we're farther up the road now. We're coming into the bride, called out, the elected. Remember, if you are, you're just like that officer. Speaking about, this is the policeman that said the Welsh revival is in me, right? You're just like him. He had it in him. Amen. See, it wasn't, oh, there's a revival going on over in that building. There's a revival going on over here in this meeting. No, the revival is here. Amen. That's what he said. If you are, you're just like him. Amen? Living in a daily revival. When you're revived, you come alive and you're active. Your worship reflects it. Your living reflects it. Amen? You're not just floating downstream, but you're active. You're led of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just read one more scripture here, and I want to just take this little type as well as we continue finishing up here. Leviticus 6, verse 8. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and shall carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood upon it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. And the fire shall ever be burning on the altar, and it shall never go out. That fire had to be kept burning. The fire in the altar that was consuming the sacrifices. They would make that priest, his job was to keep that fire burning. Amen? Left to itself, that fire is just going to go out. It wouldn't stay lit on its own. It took effort. And that was his commission. That was his job. Right? He took this seriously. Amen? That in service of the Lord, that fire, a type of our experience. Amen? It wouldn't stay lit on its own. If neglected, it would cool down and die. Or the ashes would build up and it would choke it out. But they had to take the ashes out every day. You see this? Daily. Right? Every day he had to go take the ashes off the fire and take them out and put them out somewhere. Right? The experience of yesterday wasn't good enough for today. The hurt and the struggles and the pain and the things that you went through yesterday, they can be obstacles. You've got to remove those things. Amen? We went through those things. They served yesterday. Those victories, we did that. That was yesterday. Every day, it had to be a renewing. Take the ashes out. Those ashes, that was yesterday's fire. But today, there's a renewing of the fire. Amen? We have to remove those things. And then, every day, he had to get fresh fuel. A fresh ignition. Amen? A fresh renewing. Let's build this fire up. It's for the service of the Lord. Amen. It's for honoring God. It's for living for God's purpose and God's word. Amen. So we've got to stoke it up good. Amen. Put fuel on it every single day. If they missed a day, that fire would go out. Amen. They had to do it daily. Every day. A tree that's planted by the living waters drinks daily. All the time. It's always drawing. It doesn't just take a week off and go, well, I don't think that I need to go to church. You know? No, it draws. Amen? And it's thriving because of it. Amen. Is that what we want? Amen? Is that what we want this morning? Musicians, if you'd come, let's bow our heads. Personal revival means surrender. It means dying out. Amen? It means effort. It means exercise spiritually. It means discipline. Amen? It's hard. It's hard to clear the ashes. It's hard to load up cut the firewood and put the wood on the fire sometimes. But it's for us. An experience, a on fire experience is promised to us. And Jesus said it like this. He says, if you hunger and thirst for these things, it's promised to you. It's for you. Amen? So as we're just bowing our heads this morning, I would just ask if you want that in your life, you want it in a greater measure in your life, it's very simple to start. Just ask Him for it. Have you asked Him for it? Lord, I want that. Pray for these things. Pray. You know, sometimes our prayers can be just so formulaic sometimes. We think about, well, what's my list and who do I have to pray for? And we just go through the list and okay, we're done and off we go. But are we praying? Are we crying out to God for these things? Lord, I want to be in that atmosphere all the time, Lord. Lord, I want you to meet me every day, every morning, Lord. I want to renew my strength like the eagle. Lord, I want to live so close to you that when life gets busy and I miss that time, I really miss it, Lord, and I can't wait to get back to it. If you want that, just ask Him for it.
Amen.
You pray for it, amen? And then take one step. That's my counsel, is just take one step. Don't make it hard, don't make it difficult. Just say, Lord, I'm taking one step towards you. I'm doing it by faith. I know I can think of one thing, I'm sure we all can, one thing in my life that I can take one step towards that. Lord, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to do it by faith, believing that you're going to meet me there. And see what He does. Amen. Brother Baker has been talking to us. He was just preaching to us about pathways, worn paths in our lives. We know them as habits. We just make one habit. We just change one habit. We just make one new path towards that daily renewing. Say, Lord, I'm going to take this step right here. And I'm going to believe, Lord, that you're going to bless it, Lord. You're going to multiply it, and that step will become two steps, and then it'll be three, and then four, and then that will be a well-worn path in my life. Amen. Every day, Lord, revive me. You just pray that prayer to Him, and He will meet you there. I'm convinced, brother, sister, many of these things, we don't have them because we just don't ask for them. Ask. Amen. We have a God that gives liberally when we ask according to His word. You just speak to Him in your own way this morning as we bow our heads for prayer. Lord, believe that, Lord, I've spoken what you placed on my heart this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint it, Father, that you would speak to every heart this morning, Lord. Lord, we know that your prophet said we're living below our privileges, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us. Lord, we're not able to do these things in our own. We're not supposed to, Lord. We're supposed to lean on you. So we just lean on you now, Lord. Ask you to have your way. I pray that you'd meet every surrendered child this morning, Lord. Whether here in this building or maybe listening somewhere else, Father. Lord, that they would meet you in that special, sacred place, Lord. That they would have such sweet communion with you, Father. That their lives would be on spiritual fire, Lord. We're not supposed to be like the world. Lord, we don't want to be anything like this world. We want to be like you. Sometimes, Lord, we just have to be reminded of that. Just renew our vows and just say, Lord, I'm going on. Sorry, Lord, I've failed in the past. That was yesterday. Today's a new day. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us that grace, Lord, to be able to repent of
past failures and past mistakes and just say, Lord, I'm going on with you. I know I made a mistake. I messed up yesterday, but today I'm walking with you, Lord. Lord, I'm walking with you today in newness of life. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring that humble, sweetness, Lord, of forgiveness and grace to every heart this morning. Lord, as we walk on with you, Lord, not looking to the things of the past, but pressing on to the mark of high calling, walking with Christ. We love you. We thank you, Lord. I just commit every heart to you here this morning. As we agree in prayer, Lord, all of us, Lord, we agree this morning. I know my brothers and sisters, all of us, Lord, we want to walk closer to you, Lord. We want to be more like you. And we know that there's a closer walk we can have. There's a more victorious walk that we can have. And we want that, Father. And we thank you for it because you've already provided it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.